without service. We first need to define what worship is. We can come to church every day and not worship. And we can live every day and profess to be Christ, but there's no service. But I drove to W.E. Vine's expository dictionary a lot of times. And Brother Vine says, when they're talking about worship, worship means to make or to do reverence, to make yourself holy through God, of homage or reverence to God. A lot of things that we as Christian people call worship that God does not. And for a long time, when I think of worship that's not worship, I don't think you can sing worldly music in the house of God and worship.
Amen.
And you can differ with me, you know. But I'm pretty confident that when I get to heaven, he'll say, you were correct. But to make a reverence or lift up God, you know, he must be holy, and we must realize his holiness. Worship, and when we think about reverence, is used when referring to an act of homage or reverence to God. Notice in Matthew chapter 4, and if you take notes, we won't look up every one of these scriptures that we've got written down, but you can, and it's just a pleasant study that when you've got nothing else to do, you could take about an hour and study the difference, you know, between worship and service. But here in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Now, if I'm reading that verse correctly, and when someone asks a question, you know, worship is more important than service, or is it more important? But here in the Word of God, the Lord says, get thee hence, Satan, for it's written. And we know what is written. It's written in the Word of God. It's written in the Word of God that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. I don't think you're doing either one properly unless both of them come together. We can say that I went to church in the midweek prayer and Bible study. I went to church on Wednesday night. But that don't mean we worship. Now, I don't know. I can't look at Henrietta and say, you know, Henrietta's worshiping and Tom's not. I don't know that. But I think that when you look at the word and word study, when you look at what the word worship means and what the word serve means, it's pretty obvious of what service is. When we serve Him, we carry out what the Word of God says we ought to do. And worship is when we worship God, whether it's at home, on the fish bank, driving down the road, or whatever you're doing. We can have our mind on the Lord. And the first couple, three times I went to Newman, Georgia, and I went down, had to go through Atlanta, the city of Atlanta, because the bypass was blocked. It'll make you pray. Going through that city or any big, large city when everybody's getting off work or everybody doing whatever. But here in church and at home, I believe that our lives, I believe that so many people are worried. You know, they'll call me sometime over on the lake, you know, they know I'm a preacher, and some of them haven't went out of their house since the COVID started, but, you know, what it was, you know, these days like today, there's 1,000 or 1,100 or whatever, they just go, wow, you know, the Lord's coming. Praise the Lord. Let's all get together and pray He does. If He comes tonight, we won't have to worry about the election. We won't have to worry about who is sick, who isn't. Thinking about the Lord's coming, everybody that's saved is going to leave. That's something to praise Him for. Because it was planned for Him to come at that certain time. I think that, you know, I talked to Brother Tom, you know, before he went, had these procedures, and he said, you know how I feel. You know, if I go to heaven, you know, if I die, I'm a winner either way. I mean, if you die in the Lord, not that you want to die, you know, I haven't made out any note and said, Lord, you know, my birthday is coming up, but maybe You'll take me home on the 5th. You know, I don't do silly stuff like that. But God may come tomorrow. He may come before we leave this building. Are you ready? See, it's not everybody is so confused about what they've done or what somebody done a year from now or 5 years ago. What are you doing today? Have you stopped for a moment and said, thank You, Lord. Thank You, I'm able.
Amen.
So I think if we look at the scriptures and go back a couple pages in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2, He said, saying, where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him. If I'd ask, give one word that tells you what verse 2 is talking about, it's preparation. They were interested. You know, everybody asked me, Brother Vance, when is Jesus coming? I don't know. Well, I don't believe He's coming tonight. I don't believe He's coming till this or that. We don't know that. But if we really believe that the Lord is coming, we want to be on ready. Because He's not coming for a second load. Every one of the Gentiles that are saved is going to be saved before that trumpet blows. So the next question is there going to be anybody saved after the rapture? Sure there are. They're all Jews. Mm-hmm. They rejected Him. Why do you think the Jews are having so much trouble? Why does everybody want to take them off the mat. Well, you say it's some land, you know. And a guy just talking, and he jumped and he said, well, the Democrats done that. No, they didn't. George Bush Sr. did that. He was the first president that went over there and tried to talk Israel in giving up part of the land, and they've been fighting ever since. But see, we make statements and we make beliefs without knowing. But God said, still in the book of Matthew, chapter 18. Matthew 18 and verse 26. This is a good verse now on service and worship. He said, the servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He fell down. I believe that it can be that he actually fell down on his knees, or he fell down inwardly, realizing, as we see here, that he knew he owed Jesus. He knew he owed this, the one that was over him. We're talking about worship and service, and the only person that we need to be worshiping is God. The only person we need to be serving out of a heart of love is God. Worship is illustrated for us in the gospel by Mary, who took the alabaster box and very precious and costly an ointment and anointed it, you know, the head and feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. What are we learning? Mary knew more about worship than a lot of us New Testament Baptists do. We don't give God the least, we give God the most. If I'm going to watch television for 6 hours a day, surely I can serve God an hour a day. We give God our best. And I realize you don't have to, you know. My sleep, way, you know, one of y'all's sleep is different, you know. I'd go home and eat a full meal and go to bed, and 15 minutes, I'm gone. I don't care whether my stomach's empty, full, what. I went out, as I said, left the house at 1:30. I got home about 2, at 10 minutes after 2, no doubt in my mind, I sleep. Now, the reason I bring that up, you know, after 4 or 5 hours talking to somebody, you really don't know, did I accomplish anything? Did you, what? You don't know, but that's over. On the way back, you pray that God will use it. So I'm going to get in bed and roll and tumble wondering, hey, I turned it over to him. We turn it over and, you know, and we still got to have updates. If you believe God's going to take your care of it, go on and get ready for another miracle. Get ready for something great. Because when we serve him and we worship him, great things is going to happen for you.
Amen.
Worship is illustrated for us in the gospel, as we just stated. In the worship described in heaven, we read that the 24 elders fall down before the Lord and worshiped him. See, I don't believe that we can just worship any way. I don't believe that God accepts just any way worship. Worship is more than showing up Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You prepare to worship. And God said, Matthew, the 26th chapter. Notice here. Beginning with verse 6. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, poured it on his head, and as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? What purpose? I think that, I've been urging, y'all that can sing, you ought to sing. But you ought to practice to sing. I'm sure that, we got 3 piano players in this church. We got another one on the back road that can play. He just don't know it. So we got all kind of people that one of them would, if you wanted to practice on a special, they'd probably meet you somewhere for you to practice. But that's a lot of problem. You're not going to worship God. You're not just going to come out of the world and say, Lord, we're going to worship. Worship takes preparation. And it's offering your best. Was that not what we've seen here? There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, poured it on his head, and he set at meat. But when his disciples saw it, what are you doing? This is worth a lot of money. I'm telling you, when I started out in the ministry, the attitude of churches was find an old rundown building, put Baptists on it, and sit back and wait till God comes. And you said, well, that's fine. You never studied the tabernacle. The tabernacle costs more money than any building in this country right now. It was for a purpose. The tabernacle is a teaching tool. I'm trying to find a tabernacle, minotaur. The first time I seen the tabernacle taught, they had a tabernacle, scale. Every part of that was made in, and you just see it. But my point is, God said, in verse 8, but when his disciples saw it, the first time I studied this, I went back and just read this over and over and over. His disciples, one that was the closest to the Lord, they were walking with the Lord, but they had their mind on wealth. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. They weren't interested in giving it to the poor. Wow. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye this woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me." Selfish Savior. Well, nothing selfish about that. That ambassador box was his, and what was in it was his.
Amen.
I pull my billfold out tonight, whatever money's in there belongs to him. He's only letting me have it. And if I use it wisely, he gives me more. If I don't use it wisely, he'll put you back to the dollar an hour, as I use in illustrations sometimes. When Jesus understood it, you know what Jesus said? "For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always." There's going to come a day when you leave this world and you enter glory, you're going to face worship. Sometimes many people are going to face worship for the first time. Every knee is going to bow. Every heart's going to be centered around the Lamb of Lambs. God is not asking us. I mean, my whole subject, you know, I often hear that worship is more important than service. What does the Scripture teach? I believe if we go through this rightly, and maybe not all tonight, they go together like repentance and faith. Repentance, we know what it is. What about faith? That I believe the definition of repentance. You can't give the Lord too much. And Jesus said, "For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always." He was telling his disciples, "You won't have me with you always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, whosoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman have done, he told for a memorial of her." Why did they put that in the Word of God? Because Christ never want us to forget it. Whatever you do for him, whatever you give for his cause, however much you uphold him and glorify him, it's never enough. I mean, what I'm saying, you can't do it too much. Verily, verily, in verse 13, I say unto you, whosoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world. See, every time somebody reads the 26th chapter of Matthew, they got to read about this woman selflessly gave what she had to wash the head and feet of her Savior. Then one of his 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, "What will ye give me? And I will deliver it unto you." They should have marked him right then. What are you going to give me? You know. God saved my soul. He paid the penalty that I would have to spend eternity in hell. What did he do for me? How can we ask him for anything? But he wants us to, because he says, "We have not because we ask not," in the book of James. And when we ask amiss. We really don't think he's going to give it to us. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful story. when you look at the importance of worship. Turn to the book of John. John, the fourth chapter. John chapter 4. And verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, let's analyze that verse for a moment. Why did he make a point of saying true worshipers? Aren't all of us that saved worship God? No, we don't. But he said, but the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship. You know, everybody has been this all through this pandemic. This race is better than that race, and that race has been overlooked, and that race has done this. But you know, we have the right to do that, but we have trouble when God seeks special Christians. Let that sink in a moment. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers, so is it not saying that sometimes we have worshipers, but they're not true worshipers? True worshipers are identified. Now, you know, I'm not able to, because I can't see in anybody's heart, but I'm telling you, a lot of people are going to be, well, I can't say disappointed, because there's no disappointment in glory. If certain people were in heaven and had the same attitude they have now, they would, you know, separate them in groups. But Christ only have two groups. Here on earth, they're saved and lost. In heaven, it's the bride and rest of the saved people. That's a beautiful teaching. The Bible teaches all the way through it. He does here. The hour of trumpets now is when true worshipers. Now, when he says true worshipers, so what he's telling them, not everybody that worships God is worshiping from the heart. True worshipers worship from the heart, not to be shown, you know. And God said, true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. See, it's not enough if you believe what I've just read to you, and you read it. It's not enough just to worship, because not all worship is worship. You know, I don't know why I even thought about this, but Judy will know what I'm talking about. We had somebody in our family that when Mom had a birthday, they'd buy a big old card. You know what I'm saying? One of those big old cards. That's the only time. You know, the bigger the car, the bigger the card is, shows Mom I love her more than those that bought that little regular card. You know, that's sad when that mentality comes into true worship, because God doesn't accept it. Sometimes a lot of churches dismiss and go home, and and they're happy and pleased, but God wouldn't. Because we got to worship in truth and in the Spirit. I came here to be blessed. Now, if I'm truly blessed, then me being blessed is going to be a blessing to somebody else, and I may never know it. But when God is blessing you, it is contagious. I love to be around somebody that's just, God's just worked a miracle in their life. He did for me this morning. He woke me up. Think about it. God tells us that we need to worship in truth. It's important that we worship the right way. The Father is not seeking servants or workers, but true worshipers. You know, you can tell when you come out, if you come out and you clean the building, you wash the windows, you mow the yard, you fix a meal. If it's a drudgery for you to do that for the Lord, you can't classify that as worship. Worship is when you do something. It may not be a big thing, but God has given me the desire to do it. He's given me the ability to do it. He's given me the means to do it. And I don't care if anybody knows who did it, because it's me and God got this thing working out. Me and God. So the Father's not seeking servants, but true worshipers. What meeting of the assembly is with predominant leads to united praise and worship more than any other meeting? It is the breaking of bread. I don't know about anybody else. I miss the Lord's Supper. No other service like that service. And y'all already know what I feel about that. We headed on Saturday night for a long time. We worshiped that Saturday night. Wasn't coming together and saying, "Hi, Dean, glad to say, are you feeling better today? What about you, Linda?" You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when you invite it to the Lord's table, because not everybody can eat at the Lord's table, they're special guests. They're special people. And God does the inviting. Now, almost in every Baptist church, if you're a member, and we have the Lord's Supper, I've never heard of anybody saying, "Hey, you know, you are not qualified to take the Lord's Supper." But the church got the right to do that. The church body has got the right to do that. Because if we're going to have the Lord's Supper, we're going to have a worship service. And if you got hard feelings against another brother or another sister, you're not in condition to take the Lord's Supper. And I've got an outline on that. I'm going to print one. Nobody's going to have to pick it up. But that's the most glorious stuff. There's only one other supper is going to, and that's the marriage supper. You know, when the Lord calls all his people together. First Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 23. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." That's the first thing that makes preaching good preaching. There's a difference in me giving you what I want you to have and me giving you to what God has given me. And he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Saved people and lost people can't worship together. Churches all over this country attempts it Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, because we all believe that, you know, as Brother Ward used to say, and Brother Ward told this to me and Anthony in a class, I know y'all, two young men, disagree with me on discipline, but he said, "I can do more with them on the inside than I can on the outside." That's good philosophy, but it's not Bible. You can see the way children are now. The majority of them, they've never had any discipline. I don't believe you can have true worship if you don't have discipline. I mean, how can you have worship when there's things in my life, in your life, and in the church that we're just overlooking because, I just love her. He's a man. If I had a dad, I'd want somebody like that. And that makes me want to. It's not about us. It's about God. It's about God. We came here to meet God, to hear from God. That's what worship is. Note how the Holy Spirit, through Paul, introduced the substance. He said, "For I have received of the Lord." For I have received of the Lord. When I get my Social Security check every month, I get my check from IBM, and your treasurer gives me a check every month. Came from the Lord. He gave me the health to work 30 years. As bad as she is, he let me be born in a country where I can worship as I see fit. Worship comes from the Lord. So we notice that he starts off, "For I have received of the Lord." I do not know of any other truth that is preface in that way. But when it's talking about the Lord's Supper and how it's supposed to be done, the preacher said, "I received of the Lord." And that's worship. And when you worship, it's always followed by service. Because when you worship God, you're so pleased, you're so blessed, you've realized, you know. I always remember when I went back after 2 or 3 weeks from having heart surgery. I went back to the doctor for the checkup. And my granddaughter took me. And my granddaughter told the doctor, said, "I thank the Lord for the good job you did on my Peppaw. But Peppaw would have rather said something else." And the nurse said, she was curious. She said, "What?" "I want to thank the Lord for using you and putting me and you together." You had surgery today, you had anything today, if there was any healing, God did it. You're able to get up and go to work, God was good to you. But we don't thank Him enough, or at least I don't. And when I fail to thank Him for blessing me, I'm refusing to worship Him. The early church certainly saw the importance of worship. We read in Acts 2:42, "And they continued steadfast with the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking the bread, and in prayers." They just did it and did it and did it. But instead of doing it once a week, they did it sometimes days and days and days. You read about some of those old-time revivals, they went on for 6, 7 weeks. If you notice, if you hear about revivals, it's Wednesday through Sunday, or Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You know why? Because you can't get people to come. The only way you can get them to come more is to have a different singing group every night. And I love singing. I love to have singers. But it's not worship if the only thing that will bring you in this house is how somebody sings. You know, you may say, "Boy, I thought you liked it." I love singing. I'd like to have a bluegrass gospel every week. But if we come for the bluegrass gospel and not for the Lord, we don't have worship or service. I just got a couple more points. We come together in this meeting to remember Him, to praise Him, to give, not to receive. Regarding worship versus service, Paul speaks of the remembrance in 1 Corinthians 11. Before he speaks of the different way we can serve the Lord by His gifts that He has given to us, and if we read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll see some of the gifts that God gave us. Whatever gift that you have, it came from the Lord. So, in summary, God wants the worship of our hearts. But see, I can worship in the flesh. And I can get excited, and we can leave here and say, "Man, that's a good service. The preacher preached good. The singing was good. The choir was good. Wasn't it a glorious service?" Not if we didn't worship God. We were entertained. We were made feel good. But, you know, those 6 or 7 weeks that I went to Grace Baptist Church and was mad 3 times a week. Every time I left that little old church, I was mad. I mean, 35 people, the only person he talked to was me. I told my wife, I said, "One of my sisters or brothers is talking to him." because he touched every sin I think I ever had. See, that's God getting me ready to worship. So, last scripture is found in the book of Luke. You can read 11 through 19, but we just want to read the one verse. You know, where are the nine? Not found that return to give glory to God. 10 lepers. 1 out of 10 came back. You know, and when we look at that and we think, you know, how good God has been to us. I mean, and I can only speak for myself. But when I read Luke, the 17th chapter, and I see around, you know, said unto his disciples, it's impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him to whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone was hanging about his neck and he's cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespasses against thee 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase thy faith. So see, that's worship, when you have a need and you know who to ask. I mean, that's the only reason we have church. It's so you know, so you are being taught that when you have a problem, that you go to the problem solver. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not begrudging at all the hours I spent, you know, last night and the hours I spent this week. And, you know, that's what pastors do. But that's what saved people do when they can help. But you can't just try to make somebody feel good, because sometimes truth don't make you feel good. Sometimes you got to feel bad before you feel good. And that's what the Word of God does. That's what the Word of God does. So the question is, you know, simply, which is more important, or which one is the greatest, worship or service? I think they go hand in hand. I believe you can serve without worshiping, but you can't worship without serving. You know, it's just it's just the way God made us. Our Heavenly Father, we come in.